that button. All right, we're good to go. Let's pray, and we'll get rock and rolling. Father God, I love you. I thank you for just today, Lord. I thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for calling us out just from a dark world. I thank you for giving us purpose in life and just choosing to use us. Lord, you don't need us. You don't desire to have a kingdom of just cookie-cutter Christians, Lord, but you desire to use us just as we are so we can grow closer to you. So, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for just a good church, Lord. I thank you for just the Past Point class. It's just family, Lord. It's just an awesome time last night coming together and hanging out and playing games and laughing. And Lord, it's just reminiscent of really what eternity future is going to be like when we glorify you for eternity as one body. So God, I pray you to speak to us today out of the book of 1 Corinthians. And Lord, it's a tough book to teach from when you come to a class like this who seems to really have their head on straight, Lord. But at the same time, I think there's things that we can take and apply to our lives. So God, I pray you just speak today. Put me out of the way, Lord. Just like normal, I don't have anything to say, God, but I know that your word does. So I pray that you would just get the honor and the glory from our class and our lives today. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so if you got your Bibles, flip over to the book of 1 Corinthians, right? And so, as you know, if you didn't know, you're kind of late to the party, but we're reading through the Bible in a year. And so if you're just now starting, you got a lot of reading to do to catch up by the end of the year. But so we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. And so as I promised, I'm just going to teach from something each week out of something that we read. And so like I've encouraged you over and over again, I know life is life. And so you get behind at things and it's hard to get caught up. So if you get behind, just pick up where we're at. And so today's reading should be, finishing 1 Corinthians. I knew it was through 16. So if you're off track, finish 1 Corinthians and jump into 2 Corinthians tomorrow morning and just pick up where we're at. It's like 3 or 4 chapters a day. You know, it's like 3, 3, 4 or something like that. Anyway, if you want the schedule, let me know. I can text it to you. Paige can text it to you. But anyway, we're in 1 Corinthians. And so because I know you guys are, you know, Bible scholars, somebody tell me, and just so anybody, Lauren told me to make sure you guys knew, they're not like skipping class and switching. Sure. They're finishing up a study in the journey class, and they asked if they could come and help them, her dad. So anyway, don't just be like, hey, I heard you guys are leaving Past Point or whatever. It's all good. So.
But I am now.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so, but yeah, just things are going good for Chris and Lauren. So anyway, so who can tell me what's going on in 1 Corinthians? What is the book of 1 Corinthians about? Come on, give me something. Good job. Good job, Abby. It's a letter to the Corinthian church. Man, you are spot on.
Correct. Is it Paul establishing the Lord's Supper and things?
That does happen towards the end of the book. So,
yes, we to identify problems in the Corinthian church. Teach the believers how to live for Christ and for himself.
So that's how it's going to be, huh? Sounds like you're teaching next week. Okay. Yeah, I'm reading. All right. So yeah, 1 Corinthians. So obviously it's a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, one of the churches that he established on one of his missionary journeys, right? And so he's writing a letter because generally his letters, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the Thessalonians, all those books are written by Paul, and most of them are very edifying. They're very like, hey, you guys are doing an awesome job, keep doing it. Well, the book of 1 Corinthians is kind of the opposite of that. The book of 1 Corinthians, if you read it, it's more about, hey, I've heard some stuff and y'all are off track, like not a little bit but a lot. And so he just kind of starts very lovingly rolling through, like, hey, I heard this is going on and that's not good and here's why. And also this is going on and yeah, that's not right either and here's why. And so he goes through it, and it's a really good letter on how to address problems in the church. It doesn't have to turn into a gossip fest, and it doesn't have to turn into like a church split or anything else. It's actually a really good letter, and you'll find out when you get to 2 Corinthians, which obviously wasn't written directly after the first book, but it was years later. It just happens to come directly next in your Bible. They got it right. They fixed the issues they had going on, and he encourages them in the fact that said, hey, I'm really glad that you took the counsel that I gave. And so when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, as I was reading it yesterday, I was thinking about the past point class, because obviously I'm teaching through the class. Just take the whole pan, Pam. Just take the whole thing.
Don't draw attention.
No, it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't noticed, we like to get our glory from making other people feel uncomfortable. So that's just how we roll here. So as I was reading, and I'm like, okay, so you could be like, well, we read Romans this week too. Well, fast forward, if you didn't know, I've been praying about what I'm going to teach next year, because I like to teach through a book. Unless God just completely changes the course of things, I'm pretty sure we're going to do a study of the book of Romans next year. Like the entire book throughout the year, and I'm going to do it in a different way. I really am letting the cat out of the bag now. In more of like a Bible study way, where you guys have tangible things to do throughout the week. It's not just, oh yeah, I forgot, I haven't read Romans since last Sunday when he taught on it. So, but it's something we can do hands-on, so I kind of skipped over Romans, and so I'm like, okay, well, I've got to teach the 1 Corinthians then. I wasn't going to pick something else. And I'm like, it's really hard, because obviously, as the quote-unquote teacher, leader, pastor, whatever you guys want to call me, I'm sure there's other names you've called me as well, but whatever it is, it's hard, because I know a lot of the things that are going on in each of y'all's lives, right? And so, some personal things. I know what things people are struggling with. I know how to pray for you guys, but a lot of times other people don't know those things, right? And that's all right. I'm not saying I know all your business, because there's a lot of things I don't know. But anyway, for the most part, I look across, and I know the people who are normally here or there, they're in the ministry serving, ministering their butts off. So I know Past Point as a whole. You generally have it figured out, right? And so, generally, I would much rather pick one of the other letters and say, hey, you're doing a good job, continue to do a good job. Because that's what Paul would say. But it's like, okay, I've already promised you I'm going to teach from the book of whatever we're in. And so, I don't want you to think that, oh, he's teaching 1 Corinthians, we must be, right? No, I'm not saying that you don't have it figured out, but I'm also saying that I don't have it figured out. And so, there's always things that we can take and we can learn, right? I've always said this about Past Point, if you ever come here, just like one single week, if you ever come here and it's just like, hey, that's good information, but there was nothing I could apply, then I didn't do my job, right? And so it's okay if I don't do my job like 1 week. I don't want you to be like, okay, I got a free pass to never come back. But like, if I don't ever do my job 2 weeks in a row, then you do have a free pass to don't come back. Because that is my job, is to take whatever I'm teaching and apply it to your life, right? Because there is nowhere in the Bible, I understand that the Bible isn't all written directly to you, but it's written for you, right? And so there's different things that you can get out of it. And so it's my job to find something, right? And so, just giving that backdrop to what the book of 1 Corinthians is, I'm not coming at you like, what the heck? What do we do? I know you're getting it right, but then I also know into the inner lives of what's going on that we all struggle with things, right? And so if you got your Bibles, flip over to 1 Corinthians. That's not the right... We are not in Ezekiel anymore. Whoa. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? Computers are not good. That's all I can tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so I got towards the end of the book, because generally towards the end of the book, a lot of the reproof has already been taken care of, and now he's just kind of consoling them a little bit. And so he gives some, without like reteaching the entire book, there's some major sin issues that are going on. And so we've come, we've addressed the major sin issues. And so now he's just kind of like, okay, now here's some things that you can do. Right, and that's why this kind of jumped out at me for Past Point. Here's some things that you can do that will allow you to keep doing the right thing. So once you get your life right, once you get your heart right, once you get your sin issue, once you get your whatever it is, right? I forgot I'm not supposed to say heart. Sorry. Once you get your mind right, whatever it is. See, I told you. I know something about everybody. Anyway. So... Sorry. You're not supposed to laugh, see? They've got it kind of figured out, right? And so he's like, here's some things that you can do to keep on the right track, right? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here's what I've got. I got 7 ways, right? Because I always have to have a list. That's just the way I teach. It seems to work better for me, and it also lets me know how much time I got left and how fast I got to go. So I'm already behind. So I got 7 ways you can maintain proper worship in times of turmoil. And I put in the church, but really it could just be turmoil in your life. 7 ways you can maintain proper worship in times of turmoil in the church. One more time. 7 ways you can maintain proper worship in times of turmoil in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm not going to get very far before I stop. So let's just get into it, and I'm going to give you some ways. So, I can make it longer. 7 ways you can maintain proper worship in times of turmoil in the church. Like, usually it's 3 times that long. What do you mean? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what Paul's got to say. So he's really been on their case, right? And then here's what he got to say at the beginning of chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. I'm just going to read a few of these. I'm going to circle back. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as delivered unto them. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as one if she were shaven. So we'll get to that whole part in a minute, so don't get confused. But circle back to chapter 1. He says, be followers of me. And it's a good thing that it doesn't stop there, right? Because I'd be like, hang on, Paul, you got something going on. But he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I love that verse because at times, especially in the American church, right, we like to idolize man. We like to idolize the preacher or the next guy who can speak. And it's just like, you know what? I'm really glad that I'm not that good at speaking because I don't want you guys to want to be like me. I want you to be like Christ. But you know what? If you need somebody to follow, if you need somebody to try to emulate, to try to do the right thing, then yeah, I'll say this. Be followers of me. But he throws this caveat on there and he says, even as I also am of Christ. Meaning, if I quit acting like Christ, you need to like get in the fast lane and pass me up and go on. You're not going to follow me into whatever has got me off track, right? You're going to be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. Your first way you can maintain proper worship is be an example worth following. Be an example worth following. I've said this to you guys over and over again, and y'all look at me like you're crazy because nobody follows me, nobody watches me, but somebody is always watching what you're doing. Somebody's always watching, somebody's always seeing, I wonder how they're going to react. I wonder how they're going to do in this situation. I wonder what will happen if, right? We can always say the right thing, but, you know, when push comes to shove and your feet are put to the fire, how are you really going to act? And you might say, well, nobody's watching me. You got kids at home that are watching you. Well, nobody, I don't have kids. You've got a wife at home that's, you know, looking to you. How are you going to react to this? You got a husband at home that's looking to see how you're going to react to this. You got people at work that are seeing, oh, they claim to be a Christian. How are they going to deal when this situation happens? They claim to be, there's always somebody, they might not tell you they are, but there's always somebody that's watching you. There's always like, now, how are they going to react to this? And the first way that you can maintain proper worship is this. You're going to be an example, right? To honor or to dishonor, right? You're going to be an example one way or another. Be an example worth following. You know, you might be one of those parents that's just like, I just don't feel like, I just don't want to do today. Well, guess what? Your kids do, right? Guess what? Your coworkers, they need to, right? Whatever that means. And so on the hard days, be an example worth following. You know, on the days that it's just like, I don't want to do anything. Well, you know what? Those are the days that somebody might just pop into your house. You know, somebody that's struggling, a brother or sister in Christ, and it's like, hey, I need some encouragement. And they come rolling in and, you know, you're kicked back doing what you ought not be doing when you ought to be doing something else or whatever, right? I'm not going to get into specifics. You all know what's going on in life, right? Do what you ought to be doing. Be an example worth following. Well, nobody's watching today. Well, those are the days that God's going to send somebody to watch, I promise. Right? Those are the days that God's going to send somebody and say, oh, well, I wasn't planning on anybody, you know, following me today. Well, those are the days, right? Be an example worth following. That's the first way you can do it. He says, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. Verse 2. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them. So, verse 2, the first part of the verse, here's your second way that you can maintain proper worship. Be willing to give praise to the brethren. Be willing to give praise to your brothers or sisters in Christ. You might be like, well, you know, if you're like me, it's like, I'm not one to just sugarcoat things. If you're not doing a good job, I'm not going to tell you you're doing a good job. Well, maybe you ought to be a little more graceful than I am at times, right? Tell somebody they're doing a good job. Tell somebody that, hey, that looks really awesome. Hey, that you did a really good job, right? I told Paige last night, I meant to tell you guys this, but I told her last night as we were eating dinner, I'm like, I knew I loved the Passpoint class, but I think I love you all a little bit more now that, you know, all this food that I've eaten. Right? The food was really, really good. And I mean, we've eaten together a bunch of times, but it was just like, oh my gosh, right? So sometimes, other than just thinking it, say it. Right? Other than just thinking, hey, that person, you know, from afar, I see that they're doing the right thing. That's encouraging. Maybe tell them that, hey, it's really good that you're doing the right thing. Hey, I see what you're doing. Hey, I see that nobody's watching and you're not really getting the glory for it, but I'm still really glad that you're doing what you're doing. Right? You're giving God the glory for that. Sometimes that little bit of encouragement can go a long way. Right, and it's really odd to me because what is it? There's like 7 love languages. Is that what it is? 5 love languages, right? I guess I added 2, right? I don't even know what the 5 are, and I'm trying to add 2 more. Yeah, hey, there you go. Now there's 6, and coffee, right? There you go. So now there's 7. But no, there's like 5 love languages, right? They write there's a book about it. Obviously, I haven't read it because I don't read books, but I don't. But
YouTube video.
Yeah, there you go. If you put it in a movie, oh yeah. Although I don't have time to watch movies either. But anyway, so there's 5 love languages, not 7, and one of them is words of affirmation, right? People they receive love by hearing, man, you're doing a really good job. And according to my wife, that's like one of my top love languages. But apparently I don't show love like that at all, because I don't ever say nothing to nobody. Right? Apparently. I don't know. That's what I've heard. But so you don't always show love the same way you receive it. Right? And so anyway, some people, they thrive on that. Like, hey, that was, I saw what you were doing, right? Just keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes that right there will get you through the week. Sometimes that right there can take you from just like being ready to fall apart to being like, man, you're right. I am going to keep doing what I'm doing. I am going to keep in the Word because, you know, God is getting the glory for it, right? So be willing to give praise to the brethren, right? That's what Paul's doing. He's like, hey, y'all are not heads. The entire book, that's pretty much what he said. Y'all are not heads. But he's willing to give them a little bit of praise. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes, what's the saying? A little sugar makes the medicine go down, right? Something like that, you know? Yeah, something like that. Whatever, you know. So he's giving them a little sugar to go down with the medicine that he's kind of thrown at them. So be willing to praise the brethren. Go on in verse 2. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. He says, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Right? He says, keep the ordinances. So here's your third way you can maintain proper worship. Be ready to keep the ordinances. You might be like, well, okay. So what are the two? What are the two main church ordinances? You guys don't know this.
Baptism
and Lord's Supper. Okay, yeah, okay. Those are simple. Those are the main ordinances, right? And so we are talking about those, right? So don't get me wrong when I say that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about, yes, do the things that you are specifically told, do this. But the ordinances could also mean, in this sense, the things that you know you ought to be doing. Or, contrary, the things you know you ought not be doing, but you're not doing them. The simple things, right? The day in, the day out. You know, do the things that you know you ought to do. So, be ready to keep the ordinances. You want to maintain proper worship in the church? You want to maintain proper worship in your life when it seems like, you know, the walls are about to crumble? Because I've been there, guys. I've been there. There's times in life where it's just like, I don't know what's keeping this whole thing together, right? Because I'm a mess, right? Y'all know the last 2 months, I don't know, it seems like a year of our life has been kind of crazy, if you didn't know, right? It's been really kind of crazy. And what are you?
Is that saving your life?
Oh, yeah, man. Like a bug is going to try to eat Chris, and then he's coming for me afterwards. So, if it's a spider, you better kill it. Anyway.
Spider-Man.
I understand what it's like to, you know, have times in life where it's just like, I don't know what to do. Right? And that's really hard when you put yourself in like a position that God has placed us in, where it's like, everybody's looking to us. Everybody wants to know what's next. And I'm like, I don't even know what the heck is next, right? I don't even know what tomorrow looks like. So you know what we did in that time when it was just like absolute craziness? The first thing we did you know, and you guys know the situation with the whole job thing, and God was working some things out. It was, I didn't freak out like I wanted to, because that's what I wanted to do. I didn't, I was just like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to, like, just get out of town for a couple days and spend some time praying and clear our heads. And so that's what we did. And then, you know, we decided that we were just going to let God lead and guide every single step along the way. And I can give you testimony of exactly how he did it. Right? And so I don't have time today. But, you know, you have to be sober. You've got to be ready when things are absolutely crazy. Right? You've got to be ready to do the right thing when things are nuts. Right? And I understand that things get nuts. But you know what you need to do? If you're going to maintain proper worship in times of turmoil, and I say that like in the church, but really in your life, because right now is a really sweet time at HBF, right? We kind of had some pruning over the last several years. You know, we sent the church out to Clinton, and several people went there. Praise God. It's flourishing. I can't speak. Things are going good, but, you know, it was just like there was all of a sudden a day you looked around, and it's like, man, where'd everybody go? And it wasn't for bad things, but it was just like, man, what happened? Well, things are getting, like, we're on the uptick. Not that we're about nickels and noses. Who cares? But at the same time, God's getting the glory. People are getting discipled. People are getting saved. You know, I'm like, that's where I want to be. I want to be right in the middle of where God's doing stuff, right? And so if that's here or halfway around the world, send me. I just want to be a part of what God's doing. And so now's a really good time. So I don't want you to think that I'm giving you this, like, in this turmoil of the church. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes there can be turmoil, right? Sometimes there can be like a schism. Sometimes there can be, you know, just problems at home, problems in your own life, right? There's times I don't get along with myself. And so it's just kind of like, it's just like, come on now. It's like you get in that passage of Romans where it's like, I know what I ought to be doing, but then I ought not. And I'm like, I can't even, it just keeps going for like four verses. Like, I don't even know what you just said, but amen, because I think I know that, right? We'll get there next year sometime. But I get what that's like, but you know what you got to do? You got to be ready, even in times like that, to keep the ordinances. Meaning, you got to be ready to do what you know the Word of God says you need to be doing. Even when it's like, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what you're going to do then? You're going to seek God's face. You're going to find what God's got to say about it, and you're going to be like, okay, that's hard, but okay, right? Whatever it is. Man, I've got a really close friend that's going through like a really tough deal right now. You know, and I know it's tough because it's like you feel like your hands are tied. You know, that you've like done everything that you can do that you know is right, and you know, they just haven't really wanted to take it, and then now you see it coming to an end, and it's just like, but you know what you do? You gotta be ready to give God the glory. You gotta be ready to keep the ordinances. You gotta be ready to, you know what? All I can do is the thing that I say I'm going to do, and that's follow this book. I don't know how many times I've told you guys, at the end of the day, I have absolutely nothing for you. I don't. So if you're following me, man, you're in the wrong place. Because the only thing that I've got, the only thing that I can stand on and just be like, yes, is this book. And sometimes that answer's hard. Sometimes that's not what people want to hear. Sometimes that's not what people want to do. Sometimes that's not what I want to do, but at the end of the day, that's all I've got. And so if that's what I'm going to say I'm going to stand on, then that's what I'm going to do. Right? So you have to be ready to keep the ordinances. That's what he's saying, right? You got to be ready. You want to maintain proper worship in your life? Be ready to keep the ordinances even when it's hard. Right, moving on. Verse 3. Oh, where are we at? Verse 3. But I would have you know, still talking to the church, that the head of every man is Christ. Now, don't miss that. Too often people, like, they skip that part of the sentence and they get right to the second part and they're like, see, the Bible's chauvinist. No, that's not what it says. But the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. All right, here's the next way that you can maintain proper worship. Keep the God-given structure for the family. Keep the God-given structure for the family. Now, I'm not going to get into the argument of you know, what about, you know what I'm saying, right? I'm all about a woman going and getting a job and making more than her husband. Praise God. God can use a man, a woman, a teenager. God can use anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But I do know this, because I read it over and over again in this book. God has a structure. He says, children, do what? Lead the family. And that's not what he says. Too often, that's what happens. He says, children, obey your parents. He gives them one command. Man, he gives children one command in the Bible. Like, man, I wish I was a child again. Like, I just want one command to follow. Like, I want to be Adam. But the problem is, with one command, what do? You screw it up. Adam did, right? And I'm no better than Adam was. So he says, children, obey your parents, right? He says that in Ephesians 6. The chapter before, what's he say? He says, wives, do what? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not to that other guy's husband, or that other woman's husband, not guy's husband. That's really weird.
It definitely doesn't say that.
Doesn't say that either. It doesn't say, hey, go submit to, you know, the pastor's wife's husband. Right? Because that would just be, you know, because that's what...
Pastor's wife's husband's the pastor.
Yeah. But I wanted to throw the wife part in there, because too often... You know, and I've seen this too often. A woman decides she wants to follow that more spiritual man than her husband. So submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That doesn't mean that you have to like serve him, right? It doesn't mean that you have to bow down to him. It doesn't mean any of that. Come on now. And guys, if that's the life that you're trying to live, and I know that's not in this class, but somebody online might be listening. I don't know. If that's the life you're living, that's a bunch of crap. I'll just call it what it is, right? And so that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then it says, husbands, kick back on the couch. No, it doesn't say that either, right? It doesn't say, you know, it says, love your wives. He gives wives one command. And he knows that, hey, you know, he gives children one command. Hey, obey your parents, because he knows they're going to struggle with it. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, because he knows, you know what? At the end of the day, they're going to struggle with that. And that's okay. And he tells husbands, hey, love your wives. You know why? Because we struggle with that. We love a lot of things, and sometimes it's not very good at loving our wives. Right? He has a structure. And I've taught it before, and soon enough we'll teach it all again, the marriage and family stuff. But right now isn't the time. But I'm just saying, you want to maintain proper worship in your life? You want to maintain proper worship in the church? You want to maintain proper worship, yes, you know, wherever? Keep the structure. Keep the God-given family structure. I don't make this stuff up. Do you think I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Y'all know this about me. But I am smart enough to know that I'm not going to come in here and try to step on a bunch of ladies' toes so I can get a bunch of people mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Word of God's got to say. You know, and then too often ladies get offended by it, and they totally miss the fact that what I said to their husbands was 10 times harder. You know, love your wives. And that's hard to do. Not because ladies are unlovable. I'm not saying that. But don't look at me like that. What I'm saying is, he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's why it's harder. That's why it's so much harder for me to love my wife like Christ loved me than it is for her to submit to me. Because what she's doing is a choice. What I'm doing is like, it is a choice, but then it's a choice that has to be followed up with like action that is impossible to do, because I'm not Christ. Right? But I'm the picture of Christ in the home. You want to maintain proper worship in your life, keep the God-given structure that's in He's given for your family, right? But you got to do it, because if you don't, man, it's all out of whack. Too often you see families that are chasing their kids around to 18 different sporting events. Praise God, I love it when your kids play sports, right? Praise God, I love it that your kids are involved in things. You saw my boys up on the stage last week. It was awesome. You know what? But at the end of the day, we don't idolize them. You know, I want my kids to be as successful in life as they ever can be, but at the end of the day, God is God in our home. Our children aren't God. My wife isn't God. I'm definitely not God. Right? And so too often in our families, that's what happens. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying your kids can't play sports. You guys have seen it in our life. You know, our kids play sports. They do all those things, right? I'm saying don't let those things become an idol. Too often our kids run the homes, and I'm speaking in American culture at this point. I'm not talking about HBF. You know, if that's how it is in your life, you know, you can get your own heart right. But just don't worship your kids, right? Keep the structure. God blesses the structure. He definitely blesses the structure. So I'm going to keep moving, all right, because we got to get through some more verses here. So verse 4, beginning of verse 4. It said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head. So I'm just going to skip the head part of it, right? But he says, every man praying or prophesying. Here's the next way you can maintain proper worship. Be a praying member instead of a gossiping member. Be a praying member of this church. Be a praying member of your family. Be a praying member instead of a gossiping member. And when I say that, I don't mean do the church style gossip. Right? And what does that mean? It means, you know, too often I've seen this. Oh, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? Yeah, her husband's not... You know, we should pray for them. That's gossip. Right? That's what that is. Well, you throw that church caveat. Oh, yeah, we should pray for them. You probably shouldn't have said nothing is where you should have started. If you really feel like you need to pray for somebody, just say, hey, can you pray for so-and-so? There's some things going on that I wish I didn't know about. That's enough. And too, that kind of crap just really gets under my skin, right? Be a praying member. Paul's just like, hey, every man praying or prophesying, every man, every woman, every... And I know he's getting ready to get into this whole head shaven, you know, who can and can't pray, and he kind of clarifies it there at the end, and I'm going to very lightly touch on it because I'm in a hurry, but the point here is you want to maintain proper worship in your life. You want to maintain proper worship when it seems like the church is falling apart, right? When this guy is talking about this guy and this is going on, right? And this, here's how you can do that. Be a praying member instead of a gossiping member. That's how you can do that, right? Choose to pray. You might be like, well, yeah, we're Christians. We're supposed to do. Well, how often do you? Right? How often do you choose to be a praying member? Right? That's what the body needs. That's what the body needs. Choose to be a praying member. I really don't have a whole lot else to say about that because, you know, I'll just be completely honest with you. There's two types of people in the church. There's the type who pray about everything and the types who say they pray about everything. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, right? That's just how it is, right? And I've been on both ends of the spectrum, back and forth, and choose to be a praying member. All right, so the second half of verse 4, and then I'm going to read through some of this to kind of get through it, but he says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even as one if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, but if she be... But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Verse 11 is key there. I'm going to keep moving, but too often we get hung up in the, see, it's saying the woman's got to submit to the man, and she wouldn't even be here if it was for the man. And Paul clarifies it all in verse 11. He's just like, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. God has created us as one flesh. Right? And so too often we camp out on verses that we shouldn't camp out on, and we miss the thrust. And so anyway, I'm moving on because that's not what I'm teaching on today. But he says, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. Verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even as the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves. Well, that's weird because we like to judge other people, right? No, he says, judging yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered? For not even nature itself, for doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is shame unto him. Right? Get rid of the mullet, guys. The Bible says so. No, I'm kidding. Right? Sorry, I had to throw that in there. I don't even know where I was. verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, if it's a glory unto her, for hair is given for a covering. But if any man seem not, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So here's what he's saying. I wanted to get through that because there's kind of a lot of wording and stuff that people get hung up on. And I pointed out verse 11. But at the end of the day, here's what he's got to say about the whole thing in verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, so like if any of this kind of offends you, yeah, you know, like this guy's got long hair, this gal's got long hair, she's not covered up, like, but, right? At the end of the day, be modest, right? What was the saying? Modest is hottest for the ladies, or something like that. I don't know. Come on, I'm not going to get into how you dress. But anyway, he says, but if any man seem to be contentious, basically, if you're all offended by what's going on here, here's what I got to say about it. We have no such custom. Paul's like, I'm not getting in the middle of it. That's what he's got to say about it. We have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He's like, y'all want to get offended by what that person's wearing, what that person's doing, what that person's saying. You do you, I guess, but it's not doctrine. And it ain't in the church, and we're not getting in the middle of it. That's what Paul's got to say about the whole thing. People get hung up in all of that jumble. And I'm not saying the verses are worthless because there's stuff there. And you can teach through those things. But here's what he's got to say at the end. Those are, and this goes back to what I was teaching in HBI the other night. Those are convictions. Right? And so here's your next point. You want to maintain proper worship. keep your convictions and church doctrine separate. Keep your convictions and church doctrine separate. Now, here's what I mean by that. I spent a long time the other night in HBI. We were teaching in the book of Acts. And we were talking about when Paul and Barnabas, you know, they disagreed about John Mark coming on the second journey, because if you remember when we read through Acts, John Mark bailed on them during their first missionary journey. Paul wasn't really happy about it, but he kind of let it slide. But then when they went to leave on the second journey, Barnabas was like, hey, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul's like, no, we're not doing that. And so it says the contention was so sharp between them, right? And so it wasn't a small dispute. But they handled it biblically. And so without reteaching what I taught in HBI the other night, you can go back and read that whole thing. But there was a dispute, but it wasn't over doctrine. And so here's how you're going to maintain proper worship. Keep your convictions over here and your doctrine over here. I've told you guys several times that, you know, you need to have certain, you know, kind of tiers of doctrine in your life, right? You want to bring up that, you know, you can get saved by getting sprinkled by some water. That's a tier one doctrine to me, and that's a hill I'm going to stand and die on, right? You're not going to tell me that we're going to live by works-based salvation, things like that. There's other tiers of doctrine, like, you know, ladies ought to wear a dress every day. Now, that's more of a conviction than it is a doctrine, right? And there's all these different ways that we can look at these things, and those are more convictions. Doctrine is more, this is what the Bible says, right? And so here is an example I can give you. So, and I can give it today because apparently I offended some people the other night.
You want to go here?
So, some people would be like offended if I came rolling in here and taught in sweatpants, right? Now, I would never do that because that's odd to me. Like, it would make me feel uncomfortable. But so some people are like, you can't wear sweatpants to church. Why? I didn't read anywhere in the Bible that it says, you know, no sweats allowed, right? Or something like, you got to wear a tie to church. Well, I'm all good with, you know, reverencing the Lord by the way you dress, but I'm also, you know, good with, you know, it's not doctrine, right? Those are convictions. Everybody's got different convictions. So here's a conviction that I've got, and I told these guys this the other night. And it's just me. It's not a church thing, right? But like, I wear a hat like everywhere I go. I work outside, I wear a hat everywhere I go. I wear a hat around this building all the time. I try to, now there's probably times I forget, but I try to. Anytime I walk in the sanctuary, I take my hat off. And I don't know why, it's just a conviction that I've got. It's like, this is the worship place of God. Now, is it like, when I look around, I see people wearing a hat while Brian's preaching, and like, you guys are going to hell. No, that's not it at all. That's not. But that's just a conviction that I've got. I'm not going to tell people that. It's just a conviction. I don't care. Now, I might tell my boys, you know, who are teenagers, hey, take your stinking hat off. But that's my conviction. I can push my convictions on my kids or my wife. I can't do that to other people. And so, just convictions. And so, be careful that you keep your convictions over here. And your doctrine over here. Because too often, here's what happens. Somebody gets offended by somebody's lack of conviction over something that they're convicted about. And then they're like, well, they're not even godly. And then before you know it, they're murmuring, they're disputing, and the church is splitting. And it's just like, whoa, what in the world just happened? That was a word, and you didn't even understand what they were talking about. Right? You don't even know the context of what they were saying. And so there's a lot of convictions. I'm just giving you like a couple examples, practical examples. Right? Well, I like to have a beer when I have dinner. Well, as long as you're not out acting like a, you know, a fool, you know, I'm not condoning, or those are convictions, right? Now, obviously, you know, if you're in the position of an office, then those are different things. I'm not going there, but convictions versus doctrine, right? I don't drink because I used to be a drunk. That's my conviction, right? But you do, you know, as long as you're not acting like stupid, whatever. You know, and so people have different convictions. It's all you. So don't confuse. This is really key to me, because like it just is. I've seen this divide a lot of things. Don't let your convictions, keep your convictions and your church doctrine separate. Now, church doctrine we need to agree on, right? You want to talk about how we do baptism? Yeah, we don't do it different ways. We do it this way because that's how the Bible says to do it. You want to talk about salvation by grace alone through faith alone? Yes, I'm right on board. We don't do works-based salvation. You know, you want to talk about losing your salvation in the closet or wherever because you got to get resaved next week? No, that doesn't happen, right? We have eternal security. Those are doctrine issues. I'm talking about convictions, so keep them separate. Because too often, convictions split churches. Doctrine doesn't split churches. So, same thing in your families, in your life, right? Any of that kind of stuff. So, last thing, verse 17 to 22, and I'll be done. Maybe on time. We'll see. He says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not." So he kind of gets back on the, I'm going to get on your case for a second. He says, "This I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and partly I believe it." He's like, "I heard that y'all ain't getting along very good, and really, I kind of know you, and that makes sense." He said, verse 19, he says, "For there be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." He says, when you come therefore together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." He says, "What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? I praise you in this? I praise you not." So he's kind of like, no, not okay with this. And so here's what's going on in this whole thing. He's getting ready to get into the Lord's Supper passage, right? And teaching how exactly the Lord's Supper is supposed to go down. But he's like, "Hey, you all have been doing the Lord's Supper, but you're doing it all wrong. You've turned the Lord's Supper into like this huge potluck. And that's not what this is about. We had like a Passpoint Thanksgiving thing last night. That was not the Lord's Supper. That was me eating too much turkey. That's what that was, right? Not the Lord's Supper." And that's what he's saying is, y'all have turned what is supposed to be godly ordinance into this who's who of, you know, what did I bring? Well, what did you bring? Well, I came really hungry. Well, I ate before I came. And it's just this whole messed up thing. And he's just like, "Hey, y'all got your hearts wrong. It has nothing to do with eating a big meal. Eat before you come. That's not what we're talking about here." And so that's kind of what he's doing, and without really getting into it, before he gets into the Lord's Supper passage. He's like, "Hey, y'all got this wrong, and here's how you do it right." And that's what he talks about the rest of the chapter is the Lord's Supper. So here's your last way to maintain proper worship in times of turmoil. Right? Choose to have unity instead of division. Choose to have unity instead of division. Chris taught last week for me, and it was really good. He taught out of the book of Acts, and it was called, what was the title of it? Yeah, One Accord, No Discord. Right? And he made the really cool joke of the disciples driving in the cord, right? And it was like, then I saw it on Facebook the next day. I'm like, God listens to everything that's going on. No, not God. The Facebook listens to everything that's going on all the time. Right? But anyway, one accord, no discord. We've got to be of one accord. We've got to be of one of mind. We have to choose to have unity instead of division. Too often, we get all fired up, right, when there's conflict. Like, we thrive on conflict. Man, did you see what happened, right? You know, I don't know if you guys watch football. Everybody knows what happened on Thursday Night Football the other night, right? Because he clubbed the dude in the head with a helmet. You can't do that. We thrive. This culture thrives on, like, discord. We, and I say we because it's got to start right here, right? And it's got to start at this church, and it's got to start in the body of Christ. But, you know, we can do all those different things, but I'm going to say it's got to start right here in this room. You have to choose in your family, in this class, in this church, in the body of Christ. We have to choose to have unity. Because at the end of the day, it's our choice. Do you want unity or do you want discord? Because that's what happens. It's a choice you've got to make. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, "Hey, y'all have got a lot of things jacked up in your lives, right? And in your church. But I want you to get it right." And he's like, "Here's a few things that you can do to stay on the right track. Right? Here's a few things. Now, there's some other things you can do, but let's start with this. Start with the basics." Right? And so there are probably more in this passage. There's probably more throughout the book, but 7 is just a good number. It always pops out. But 7 ways you can maintain proper worship, right, in times of turmoil in the church or your life or whatever. Choose to have unity instead of division. Right? Choose to have unity. All right, so that's all I got. I'm a couple minutes over. We'll pray and get out of here. And we'll get rock and rolling. All right, thanks. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it does just come into our lives and just transform the heart, Lord, because it starts on the heart. We can act out whatever we want to act out, Lord, but if our heart doesn't change, then our mind doesn't change, and then our lives don't change. And so, God, I pray that you would just change us from the inside out, that we would be moldable, Lord, that we would be more like you every day, that we would choose to not have discord, that we would choose to be unified, and it would start right here in this room, Lord, that we would start by having unified families, that we would just take it farther from there, and we would have a unified class, Lord, that just loves you and wants to serve you and wants to serve one another, and then that would overflow into the church that already has it going on, Lord, and it would just spill into our lives outside of the walls of the church, into the community, and just that we would be the salt and light of the world. I pray that you would just as I pray every week, Lord, send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that we would just be like bright, shiny LED bulbs in a dark world, Lord, that people just have to be like, why are you so bright? And that we would just give an answer to that, God. I pray that you would just use us this week, that you would just be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.